Welcome to Halftime, shorter, more topical episodes of Pastor's Pregame that you can listen to in about half the time. Before Bruce left for vacation and his summer study break, we recorded three short conversations on sexuality and gender, something that is so much more than the culture war topic it too often becomes, because it affects people so deeply. In our first conversation, we define some terms and discuss how we think Jesus would want us to treat LGBTQ people. All right, welcome back everybody to a special edition of the Pastor's Pregame podcast, because this really technically isn't a Pastor's Pregame because these are not sermons that Bruce is going to preach, but these are topics that I think are worth us discussing and talking about. And these are things that Bruce has already done quite a bit of research, written a book on, done workshops on. So I thought, what better opportunity is there than to bring him on and ask him just some questions that you guys might have?
Yeah, I'm happy to be invited. And I do answer these questions for other people and other churches. And in fact, in the last 6 months, I've spoken on this in Canada and Cuba. So there are questions people are asking, not just the United States, but really, frankly, around the world.
Far north and far south.
That's right.
In our hemisphere. Yes. And I didn't introduce the topic, maybe because it's a sensitive topic, but we're going to talk about sexuality. And in particular, we're going to talk a little bit about some LGBTQ issues and some transgender issues. And obviously, we're not going to cover the depth and breadth of this very complex situation, topic, thing that affects people deeply. But we do know there are a lot of questions out there and a lot of people wondering, how do I as a Christian navigate these issues, particularly in the highly political, divided time that we live in? So I think Bruce is great at talking about this because he's just kind of chill about it. Tell him kind of what your posture toward this is.
Yeah, I wish we weren't quite so tense about it. I've reflected more and more on how do we think about this best? And I keep getting drawn back to Jesus, which I know sounds like the Sunday school answer, Jesus, but I actually think it's quite profound. Jesus did not seem to be tense around sinners. And in his day, people were tense about Pharisees and tense about prostitutes and about people who weren't Jewish, Samaritans. And yet Jesus was a magnet for these people. Mm-hmm. And Pharisees, non-Jewish people, people that were treated with hostility or disdain or certainly uncomfortableness at the least by the Jewish leaders, faithful Jewish people of his day, he was comfortable going to dinner, going to a party. And so I thought, I think at the core, the problem is we're not enough like Jesus, which I think we'd all probably pretty freely admit.
We'd all agree with that, yes.
And we need to be more like Jesus. And so more and more I've looked at, how did Jesus interact with people, especially the people that would be scandalous sinners in one way or another? And I find it fascinating, yes, to see how he interacted. Maybe if I pushed it just a little bit more, that Christ was a magnet for sinners. The church is to be the body of Christ, his hands and feet. Shouldn't we be a magnet for sinners?
Yeah. So, okay, I've already told Bruce this. I want to tell our listeners this so they understand. I'm going to take a posture in this podcast of being a bit of a contrarian. And I think that's helpful because I know there's a lot of questions out there. So if I just smile and nod at everything Bruce says and I don't push back at all, that's not really, I don't feel like doing my job as a host. So this is not like...
That's not our brother-sister relationship anyway. You guys need to know off mic, Lisa's often contrarian with me and me with her.
No.
Because we laugh, we tease, but we sharpen each other as we ask each other hard questions about all kinds of topic. And I'm grateful and thankful for our relationship,
yes,
Lisa.
Me too, me too.
So what's on mic does represent
a friendly
brother-sister relationship.
Yeah.
Friendly is the right word.
And really, my goal is not to grill Bruce. It's really just to try to get uncovered things. I live out in the world like you guys do. I have teenagers and young adult children. So I hear their perspective and their friends' perspective on these issues.
You're giving voice to what probably some of you listeners are asking, or certainly your friends people you know or your children are asking.
Yeah. And I also have, you know, I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. So I also have deeply ingrained in me sort of the traditionalist view of things. So I feel the tension on both sides. And so I want to represent that as we talk, because I want people out in the audience to go like, yeah, I've always wondered that. And no one's ever asked that. And I want my question answered. So, and not that Bruce is the wise oracle to end all oracles, but, and I'm hoping that together we can, you know, shed more light than heat, as the saying goes, and just open up a dialogue and conversation. And please, if anything is said in the course of this podcast that you have questions about, concerns about, that rubs you the wrong way, don't hesitate to email us. We'd rather you do that.
I'd love that. Love to have some some conversation about it.
Please do that rather than just sit on it and stew, or, you know, talk to your friends about it. Just come and ask, and give us the opportunity, the privilege of clarifying. So with all that disclaimer out of the way, now I've totally forgotten what my pushback was going to be on you from that. Oh, so what you're saying, though, is you think homosexual people are sinners. You said Jesus is comfortable around sinners.
That's a great question.
So are you saying that homosexual people are sinners?
Yeah, it's a great question, which really pushes the question of what do we mean by homosexual? Mm-hmm. And that word itself is just, well, really any of these words around sexuality, I find people get tense just hearing or saying the word homosexual or the acronym LGBTQ. So in talking, people use the word gay or homosexual. People, almost no one today, by the way, calls themselves homosexual.
Right, right.
That most people would say I'm gay or a lesbian or some other variety, bisexual or whatever that phrase might be.
And that's one thing I want us to do in this conversation is define some of these terms a little bit. But yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, so having said that, I'm going to use the word gay and say that by the word gay, some people mean I'm engaging in sexual activity with people of my same sex, man with a man, woman with a woman. Other people, by the word gay, mean some other things. For instance, some people, men often will say, that's so gay, or you're so gay. It's a derogatory term that means effeminate.
Yeah, and you shouldn't say that.
Yeah, you're sort of acting like a woman.
Yeah.
And as if that was bad. But anyway.
Right, exactly. There's a whole layer of issues with that.
Yes. But it's a comment about gender.
Yeah.
Another way that people use the word, probably the most commonly, is that gay means I'm romantically or erotically attracted to someone of my same biological sex. Mm-hmm. So is it wrong to be attracted to another person? Well, let me ask it a different way. Is temptation sin? Well, that's a problem because Jesus was tempted in all ways as we are, and Jesus didn't sin. So if to be homosexual or to be gay means that you are attracted or tempted toward people of your same sex romantically, erotically, that in itself is not sin. So it is on one level, on that understanding, it is not sinful to be homosexual or gay.
Okay. So let's define some terms. First of all, affirming and non-affirming. What does that mean?
Yeah, the way the words are most often used, affirming means, in this context of this conversation, means that someone approves of or affirms same-sex marriage.
Right.
That it's perfectly fine for two people of the same sex to get married. Now, and then the non-affirming is someone who doesn't approve of that. But let's just push that a little bit further since we're in a mood of pushing each other, which is, a Christian who believes the Bible, who is broadly evangelical, who is affirming, usually means by that they would affirm a marriage between two Christians of the same sex in a Christ-centered marriage of high fidelity in which the people, high fidelity, I mean, they are only going to be committed to each other.
100% faithful. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're committed to no adultery, no emotional affairs. And no divorce. Yep. They're committed to each other for life.
And they would say that sex belongs within that covenant relationship the same way.
That's right.
Of heterosexual marriage.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think that's an important distinction because I think sometimes people get too loose in their desire to put down another side into saying, well, clearly they just don't believe the Bible. They just think
that's right.
all behavior is fine.
It's almost like the mistake would be to think someone is affirming that you can have sex with anybody, anytime, anywhere you want.
Right, right. And that's not at all what people who are Christians in this space talking about these issues would say. They would still say that premarital sex is wrong.
That's right.
Adultery is wrong.
Pornography is wrong.
And that, but they would affirm that two people of the same sex could marry and God would approve of that.
That's union. Right. That's what they would say. That is not what I believe. But yes.
Yes, we know.
It's easy to be misunderstood. It's easy or to hear be one line. And
okay. So what about some of these other terms? So there's a question of sexual orientation, right? Which would be who you are attracted to. Because I think when people hear the LGBTQ label, right, that lumps in a lot of, like you were saying earlier, Bruce, a lot of behavior and a lot of question of identity. And it's a big umbrella term for groups that may not always agree about everything anyway, or that speak to different aspects of a person. So that's everyone right. kind of means something slightly different by that giant umbrella term. But part of that would be sexual orientation.
So orientation generally is understood to be a persisting emotional or sexual attraction. It's not a biblical category, so right. it can be quite confusing.
Well, it's even more of a modern category, right?
It's a very modern category. It's only been around about 100 years, if even that long. And so generally, it's a persistent emotional, romantic, or sexual attraction of some kind.
Yes. So that's one issue. So when you say I'm gay, you could be talking about purely that's my attraction.
That's right.
To who I am attracted to. But what about the issue of gender identity? How is that different from sexual orientation? And how is it sort of a unique category and also a new category?
Yeah, these are often confused. Sexuality and gender are very different. But part of the reason they get confused is because of the acronym LGBTQ.
Right, the umbrella term. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets all run together. And you'll find that even outside of Christianity, people who are gay and lesbian get frustrated that trans is mixed in because they say that is just so very different. So sex is about who I want to have sexual relationships with, who I'm romantically attracted to, erotically attracted to, whereas gender is about how I think about my maleness or femaleness. It's how I think about who I am in terms of gender, in terms of masculinity, femininity, or something in between, some people might say. And that is very different from sexuality. Yep. They're two really, just to be extreme, they're two very different topics, completely different topics. So your gender and your sexuality are not necessarily related at all.
Yes. Yes, that's true. And so for people who feel that they are, their gender identity is different from their biological sex, meaning they have an X chromosome, XY chromosome, down to the chromosome and the genitalia you are born with, right? That's your biological sex. But some people would argue that gender identity has nothing to do with biological sex.
That's right. So in this conversation, another confusing thing is that the word sex and gender have often been used as synonyms.
Right.
And people still use them synonymously sometimes. However, for precision, it's more important to explain that biological sex is right where you are going. Like, so it's your chromosomes, your hormones. It's your physiology that we're talking about. Whereas gender is your cultural and personal understanding of yourself as male or female. Cultural is there are cultural expressions of masculinity and femininity in different cultures.
Right, and in different times in
and
history.
And different times in history, the kind of clothes you wear, the kind of work you might do. Who's the hunter, who's the gatherer, who's the farmer, who wears a skirt? Well, it depends if we're in Ireland or, you know, what time in history that we're in Rome. And so those are very different. And then how you, in your mind, think about yourself. Mm-hmm. And so gender and biological sex are not the same thing. Biological sex is given to us by God at birth. We're born male or female. We are dimorphic creatures. We are mammals that are either male or female. Mm-hmm. However, gender, so biological sex is not culturally created. It is not something just made up. Whereas gender is partially culturally constructed.
Right. But most people live according to their, well, and I shouldn't say that. That may not be true. But I think the assumption would be that most people live according to their gender identity. At least they feel comfortable living as a woman if they are biologically a woman, living as a man if they are biologically
That's right.
a man. But then there's a lot of people, and this seems to be an increasing category, particularly among young people, who say, I don't feel comfortable, therefore I'm declaring myself non-binary.
That's right.
Which means I don't fit in, I don't feel like I fit into either gender category.
Yeah, so non-binary, binary means two. So binary would be male, female. And there are people saying, no, it's not male, female, it's a spectrum. Gender is on a spectrum. Mm-hmm. And there are people who define themselves as non-binary, meaning I am neither male nor female. I don't identify with either one.
Yeah. And that's where the pronoun controversy sometimes comes to play, right? Where people will declare themselves their pronoun, saying I am he, him, or I am she, her, or I am they, them, even though they're a singular individual. And so that's when you see that around on people's social media profiles, that's what they're declaring. They're saying,
that's right.
This is what I identify with as a gender. So, and like you said, that's different from their sexual orientation.
That's right.
And then, of course, there's a whole category of sexual behavior and sexual activity that may or may not define a person. Because there would be people who would consider themselves straight, who maybe in their past or at certain times say, okay, I feel fine having sexual activity with someone of my same sex. Doesn't change my sexual orientation. It's just something I did in the moment or something that I choose to do. You know, and again, I'm speaking very broadly in our culture.
Oh, sure. There's people who would call themselves bisexual would be somewhat common.
Pansexual.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of a latest thing, again, common among young people, that it means I'm open to having sexual experiences with all kinds of people.
That's right.
Or maybe not. They may say I'm straight, but every once in a while I engage in behavior that's not straight, and I'm fine with that. I just find increasingly...
Pansexual tends to mean you're open to sexual activity with people of all genders.
Right.
Male, female, or anything in between.
Or transgender, or yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems that particularly in the younger generation, what I find, at least among, you know, the kids that I know and have talked to about these things, they seem very comfortable with just not defining themselves.
That's right. And so there's a whole debate about whether sexuality is fixed or fluid. Mm-hmm. And so by that I mean, so if you define yourself as gay or straight, is that something that's hardwired into you that will never change throughout your lifetime? And frankly, people who study all this, Christians and non-Christians, are in a debate about it. And it doesn't seem clear. And when people describe their own experience, there's some people who would say, look, I am straight or I am gay, and that is who I am, mm-hmm. and that is not changing, never has. And then, as you just said, there are other people who would say, I'm bisexual, and there's fluidity. Or they might say, at one time in my life, I considered myself gay, and there was another time in my life I considered myself straight. And they get really frustrated and say, don't fix me in a box.
Don't put me in a box.
Don't tell me who I can be and can't be. It may change over my lifetime. And so the tension there is, well, then it's hard to develop some sort of social or political identity for which you can then advocate for like a class or a group of people if it's fluid. And so there's some tensions on multiple sides. One, there's the freedom tension is I want to be free to say who I am or who I'm attracted to, and it may change. And the more political advocacy side is, no, we need to have a sense of groupness to us. And if it's fluid, then you don't have a sense of constant group identity.
Yeah.
You know, we get on this topic and we treat it as a topic, and it is, but there are real people involved.
Right.
Who I know you have a real heart for too, Lisa. But on this trans topic, I find that people, and sexuality, I find that people, some people sort of assume that it's pretty easy to choose to be trans or not, or choose to be gay or not.
And no, it's not.
And let's again, in terms of the whole field of people out there, yeah, there are some people who are jumping on a bandwagon and they've just made a choice to do this. There are other people who are in absolute agony.
Yes.
In the fact that what is in their mind, their body may be female, but their mind is telling them they're male. And they don't feel like they chose this. This is a condition they're experiencing that is incredibly painful. They wish it went away. They don't want it to be there. They don't know what to do with it. And I think we need to have real compassion for people and listen to them without assuming we know what's going on in somebody. The whole trans experience, and that's a lot of how people refer to it today, is sort of the word trans with like an asterisk at the front to describe a wide range of experiences. So one psychologist says if you've met one trans person, you've met one trans person.
Yes.
Because the experiences are so incredibly variant. It's a huge umbrella of experiences we're talking about, actually far more than even on the sexuality topic.
Yeah, and I think that this is in what we're about to transition to talking about. I feel the same in that it's easy to talk about at a macro level. It's easy to talk about, well, this is God's design and this is how things have gone awry because of, you know, the fall of human nature, fall of humanity. But it's very, very different when you're talking about individual human lives.
That's right.
And individual people. And so we want to be sensitive in tone and in compassion and kindness to people who are struggling. I think the trans experience, this idea of gender dysmorphia, of feeling that you are in the wrong body, is very real for some people.
It is, admit it's hard for me to grab a hold of. I don't feel that. I've not ever experienced it. But let's just broaden it a little bit. You know, as you're listening, would you say you're completely comfortable with your body? When you look in the mirror, do you feel like, yeah, I like all my body, I have a great body? Very few people would say that.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are uncomfortable or dissatisfied with some aspect of their body, including parts you can't change, like you wish you were shorter or taller or
had different hair or different eyes. Yeah.
Right. In addition to things you maybe have some more ability to change, your weight, your shape, your muscles, and people get really obsessed about some of those things, and we have serious issues with anorexia.
All right, well, this kind of opens us into transitioning to our next topic, but you know what? We're already out of time for our first episode. We're going to keep these a little bit shorter so that we can do more of them. The next topic, if you want to tune in for the next episode, is sort of the biblical theology of sex. So what, as far as we can tell from the scriptures, and we believe they are the word of God, what is God's design for our sexuality? And how can we both live that out as individuals, but also recognize how other people are living and what should our posture be towards them? So that's going to be our next episode. So you'll want to tune in and hear us for that. All right, everybody, we will see you back next week.